Hey guys, welcome to the latest episode of the SaaS Sessions podcast. Today we have Shubhi Agrawal on the show with us. Shubhi is currently the co-founder of Locobus, which is an enterprise SaaS platform for digital customer care, engagement, experience automation, and analytics for B2C companies and governments. So hey Shubhi, such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Same here, Sunil. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me over. It's always nice to talk about our journey and our learnings and, broadcast it to the larger set of people, because I think invariably all entrepreneurs have similar kind of stories when they start.
Yeah, and even though the stories are similar, the learnings are always different and always new, right?
Absolutely.
That's something which fascinates me as well. So yeah, talking about your intro, right, and your journey. So I gave a very short introduction about you, but can you tell us more about yourself? And I've seen you've worked with great companies like UTV Software, Bigflix, Sangama, and Times Internet, and now running a SaaS business, right? Since 2015. So can you tell us more about yourself and how did you stumble into this idea of Locobus and how it got all started for you?
Sure. So I'll take you back to the time when I was actually working with these companies that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I've always been into the space of digital. So even before VOD was a little ahead of time, because all these players that you mentioned, they were in some portion of their life cycle where they were sort of in process of putting up a video on demand portal, much before Netflix came to India and everybody was trying to get a market share around that. So I've worked with a bunch of those players where we were trying to figure out how the whole market works and the kind of content which works and how to increase the ARPUs and all of it. So we worked very, very closely on understanding the business nuances and all of it. In that process, I did get introduced to a lot of people where I realized customer experience and customer journeys are an integral part of, all of this journey. Because although while you're working on the front end, the back end of these things, which nobody talks about, plays a very, very similar kind of a role where you would want to understand your customer better for you to go ahead and reach out to them in a relevant communication, relevant manner. So from that started the culmination or the genesis of this company, because so we are three co-founders here. Vishal, who is my other co-founder, is actually married to me. When we came back to India from US, he was already working on a project and a company, which is called Spatial Ideas, which was into business intelligence and inciting. Mm-hmm. And when we discussed all these things on a hobby basis, we picked up a project where we thought, okay, let me just take a brand and plot it out, because the whole, the starting point of this was literally a tweet map, if I can tell it to you very honestly. So my other co-founder also was a part of that team where we were putting it all together. And once we put it together, it sort of came up with brilliant kind of trends and charts and visualizations, which we went and talked to agency partners and through them to some brands. They liked it and they said, well, this is all great, but what about adding more channels into it? Why only Twitter? Why not have LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram, all of them come into it. And then once we achieved that, they said, okay, this is great, but now if you have all of this, I would want to engage with my customers. So that is something which then we worked upon to create workflows. And that's how the overall evolution of Locobus came about. And I think it's been five very, very fruitful and exciting years, because, literally starting from 2-3 people team in 2015 to almost 100 plus team now, we've come a long way. And we work with the who's who of any sector that you pick up. We're working with the marquee brands. So, and they all have good things to say about us. And, we've not been very good with marketing, and most of the business that we got is through word of mouth, is through people referring us to their peers, to their network. And we got a lot of business because of the work that we did, because we have always believed in a merit-based, company where everything happens and Fortunately for us, it has worked out wonders.
No, that's a really great story, Shubhi, and which started out as a side brand or a casual project, and now it's like a big business, and you have like hundreds of employees working on the same vision or the same idea that you had back in 2015. So really great to know that. So how was your experience in starting up? So if you travel back in 2015, so how did you start? How did you get your first 10, 20, 30 customers in India? You said you picked a brand, so what was that brand, and that was the first one? Then how did you go about getting the second one and the third one and then so on?
So it is very interesting because, like I was mentioning in my previous question, when we started, we did not actually think about a brand or think about a sector or think about that, okay, these are my wish list and this is where I need to be. We had friends and network colleagues who were working in agencies, and that's how we went to them. Once they looked at our platform, they were the ones who actually handholded, and they have played a very, very pivotal role in creating the initial direction of the product from that aspect. And they were the ones who actually took us to the first client. I'm very proud to say that that client is still working with us for all these years. Yes. So that's another thing with which we've been able to achieve. We work with our clients like a technology partner. So maybe we started with a certain portion of the customer experience journey, which we went ahead and sort of improvised for them. But from there, it's just a way in. It never is like, okay, you go ahead, you do that problem solving, and you come out. It's always been that, okay, so what is it that you're doing next? What are your challenges? And having that dialogue with the brands on an ongoing basis, which is what kept us very, very, involved. And we almost have a 95% customer retention rate.
Oh,
So
that's
in
really great.
certain cases, thank you so much. In certain cases, what happens is the clients love the product so much that, say, for example, so usually what happens in this digital marketing space, there are agencies who have products and there are agencies who have services, and there are a bunch of other things which happen when we talk about digital marketing as a space itself. Customer experience and ORM and what we do is a small portion of the overall thing. So many brands like to have single SPOC where the agencies are the ones who are running the show, and they just want ORM to be done by a certain platform. If Locobus is the platform of choice for them, then they go ahead and have the agency work onto our platform, and we get many references because of the clients that we have worked with, because the agencies then adopt us and then take us through various other opportunities they have at hand. So that way it's very organic and kind of like Amway model. I don't know. You can compare it equally like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. 95% retention rate, I mean, that's amazing as well. So I believe that did help you in figuring out your product market fit, very quickly, because you mentioned that your earliest customers are still working with you. So that would be about 5 and a half years they're
Correct.
still with you, right? So what was the turning point for you to think that, hey, this is a product which we can, package and sell. Now we start selling, right? As you mentioned, like in the first, you're building this product and you're giving it to your network to use and just get an idea of how they are interacting with the product, how they're engaging with the product. But then at some point you would have realized that, hey, these are the people who are coming back to you with new ideas or with new feature requests, and they're saying that, it's helping them with making their job easier or doing their job better. So when was the point that you guys decided this is a product, we should build a company around it, and we should start selling, and we should start scaling up this particular product? So how
So,
was that point? Yeah, came.
okay, I will answer this a little differently. So, this whole thing did not happen in 2015. This work that we have done with the client, with our first client, happened a few months before that. With the successful adoption of the product in the first client, and from there, the agency, when they saw that this happened to be the largest client of that agency. So,
Got
when
it.
the agency got perfect use case where, we did not have to prove anything to them. but it was directly coming from the horse's mouth. They were seeing the establishments and the achievements and the success stories on a daily basis. The decision for that agency to partner with us for catering to such requirements became very quick. And fortunately for us, this agency is also very big. The agency is Interactive Avenues, and Interactive Avenues then sort of took us to various other clients that they had at that point in time. And I think from there, the adoption and, you know, it became very fast. So for us to take a call, it literally took few months, not years together, because we knew that there is a merit into it. And we saw successful adoption, not only by the end client, but also proliferation of the product and successful adoption directly through agencies as well. So we saw that there is a clear opportunity, because it's a value add and it's a win-win situation for the end customer, for us as a platform provider, for agency as a user and the service provider. Everybody has something to add into it and sort of make it a success for the end client. So that's when we sort of realized that we have to keep it as a separate entity and run like a completely different entity by the name of the platform, which we had called LocoBuzz. And that's how we named the company as well, as LocoBuzz. So that's when the genesis of the whole idea and a company started. And we decided that we will make it a complete. So my other company, which we had started off, was a completely different entity into e-governance and all of it. So it had literally no relationship with this. So we decided to keep that separate and this separate.
That's great. And then how did you guys go about, like, you know, hiring your first few people in, you know, in India? And like, what were like, how, because whenever a startup hires their first few people, it's more of like an extended family, and you don't have a company at the very beginning. You're reaching maybe not even product market fit in many cases, and you have to hire, or you have to sell your dream, or you have to sell your company to these people first, right, who are your employees. So how did you go about hiring the first, like, let's say 10 or 15 people, and what roles were those majorly?
We have always been a very technocratic company, not a selling company. I think early on we realized that we are the best salesmen for our product. Because this is our dream, like you rightly mentioned, and this is something I want to sell it to the end customer,
right?
But not too much to my, we realized that we needed people to help us develop this faster and enrich it faster. So the whole intent and the whole effort at that point of time was done to ensure that we have a very strong tech team.
Got it.
And we created a core team. Obviously, it became the core team because they've been there since the very beginning. We created a team who shared our passion, who shared our enthusiasm, and, you know, who saw things the way we did. So we initially just did everything around creating. It's a product company. It has to be driven by a meritorious product, and the product has to be the best because it will do the selling. Because I can have the best salesperson, if my product does not have what it is needed, then it is of no use. So we realized that we were good at selling, but we needed people to build it. So then we hired accordingly. And most of the people at that time came by network of networks. So friends of friends. So I think I would say second or third or fourth degree contacts who we knew through somebody. We did not advertise on any platform. It was very like word of mouth as well. So we knew somebody through somebody, and that's how we initially sort of took this forward.
Makes sense. That's really interesting. And I believe you haven't raised any outside funding?
Not yet.
No. So like, building a bootstrap business in India then, right? So how did you decide on staying bootstrapped? Like, you didn't go out and look for funding because maybe your funding for the company was coming from your customers directly, or, yes, you know, or you did approach VCs, but it didn't work out, or it was not great deals that were happening, or the VCs reached out to you as well, and, you know, you didn't want to go. So how was, like, you know, building a bootstrap business in India, right? So how did you go about deciding that you want to stay bootstrapped, or was it a calculated decision, or was it just happened that you never required any round of funding?
So very interesting and very tough question, I must say. Because I'll tell you, we did go for that, but we would take two steps but one step back, because always it comes with a big,
It's definitely a risk factor, and then you're
and
like, you know,
you lose
you're
on the decision making power, which always put us in very uncomfortable, like we were not comfortable with that. So we realized that that was not a good time to do it. So we
got it.
and we had some people who said that, okay, once you reach like a 1 million or a $2 million mark on the top line, then you go ahead and do it. Then it will make more sense, because now you've created a value and you have a proven use case. So we realized that since everything is working out as we have decided, like anyways, we are sailing through all of this, so might as well not do it now, but explore it when you can get a full potential of it.
Totally. No, that makes sense. It's been said, like, you should raise money, or you should raise funds when you don't need it, so that you
Correct.
can only use it for
Isn't
scaling
that
up
the case
and
everywhere? Because the banks give you money when you don't need it, because you have to show enough and more substance to say, I don't need your money.
yeah, totally. Cool. And then, like, what are like a few challenges that you faced in terms of scaling up, or in terms of doing your GTM in India? So what are those?
I think one of the things that we did not do too much was marketing and creating awareness about us. So while it was great at that point in time, and it worked fine the initial years, we are seeing the impact of it, because like I said, I mean, people of who use our product and their network knows about us, but it's not like a lot of people know about us. We are fixing that now by having a proper marketing strategy and a proper marketing plan
Nice.
around it. But initially that was not the intent or the bent of mine. And partly it's because I think as technocrats, people are very, and product companies are very inward facing, and we did not have, I guess, any mentor or anybody in our realm of things to advise us against that. So we did what we felt was right, and maybe not the best decision.
Yeah, definitely, but it's never too late, right? You guys did
Exactly.
what you could, and, you know, even then you raised, or, you know, you created this amazing business, and then now you have finally realized that, you know, you guys need marketing, and you guys need to, you know, have enough fuel in the engine so that, you know, you can get the escape velocity as well, right? So you
Correct.
can grow, and you can have. Currently, you guys are selling in India only, right? And not
Yes.
outside. Yeah.
So that's another thing that we want to go ahead and, invest in, is creating a marketplace outside, or creating a team outside India, so that we can have footprint which is outside India as well. Currently, most of our conversations and most of our clienteles are in India. Apart from India, we are present in Sri Lanka, we're present in Japan, we're present in Dubai. We have some clients. We have conversations going on with certain clients which are outside India, but now there is definitely a full-blown effort to go ahead and explore and conquer those markets as well.
That's nice. And then, talking about this particular year, right, before we move on to the lightning round, I just want to know, like, how did COVID impacted LocoBuzz, and not only in terms of like revenue, or not only in terms of sales or something, but in general, like, what were the things that you guys learned also? Because there are many things that, you know, COVID has been doing differently for different companies. So how did it impact LocoBuzz, and, you know, what were the key learnings that you guys had in, let's say, in the past 6 months?
So COVID, when it happened, we really thought that it will all go away in probably 2 months or 3 months, maximum a quarter is what we thought. So in fact, we had closed our office even before the government announced the lockdown. So we had told all our employees to go ahead and start working from home and not worry about coming to work. I think mid of March itself, before 10th of March or 12th of March was the date. A good thing that happened because of that is when the lockdown happened, we were already ready with ensuring that we have a working setup at home.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
So right from bandwidth, network, to even small, simple things like three big plug chargers and extension cords and everything, people had set it up. They were ready. Mm-hmm. And what impressed me the most is the way the team showed resilience, and they came together as if it was remarkable. Mm-hmm. I don't have words for it. I mean, I feel so proud of my team about that. It really, we always used to have these conversations that we want to have remote teams and all of it, but most of our teams are actually working in Bombay because we had, difference of opinion when it came to having remote teams. But we have sales team, which is operating outside different cities. But this showed us that all those reservations were of absolutely no consequence. The team is very young, very dynamic, and their intent is similar to what ours is. They are passionate about the product. They feel what we feel. And like I said, I mean, the minute we left it off and we said, well, the boat needs your help, they were all hands on the boards. And that was really remarkable. So right from the ORM executives who require like long hours, to my development team, to my sales team, nothing has changed. In fact, we are seeing a lot more strategic inputs from them to improve the tool, to improve the team dynamics. To people have worked out like a lot of things which are softer elements, which otherwise there is no time to sort of, look at. This situation has given us a chance to stop and think and see what it is that we need in long term and how do we go about doing that. So that way, it has worked wonders. From revenue impact, obviously there has been impact because there are certain sectors which are hit so badly and some of them were working with us. Mm-hmm. We had to either let them go or we had to give them deeply discounted rates. But now as things are continuing, we have more than made up for what we lost. So nice. It's at least at where we started. It's not less than that. Mm-hmm. And I think if we continue the way we are continuing, we should be able to see growth and quick growth and success stories, which will add to our top lines very, very quickly now.
Well, that's really great. Congrats on, coming back from COVID. So awesome. So let's quickly move on to the lightning round. Like, I have three questions for you, which you have to answer quickly. That's why the lightning round. Yeah. So first one, what do you know about your work now that you wish you would have known when you first started?
Yes, marketing is very important.
I think you answered that before. But yeah, that's great. So second one, like, what did your biggest professional failure teach you?
Yeah, so there is always a learning into every failure. There are instances where, you may not win a pitch because there is certain features which are not available in your tool or a platform. There are situations where you think that your product is great and everybody will love it, but somebody will come back with a solution or an input which is not there. So we have always taken these things into our stride. And that is what has made us very, very thick-skinned and flexible. And we are like, there has been a lot of failures, but every failure we have taken up by saying that, okay, this is a chance for me to go ahead and introduce this feature, for example, or this functionality, or give that flexibility into the platform so that the user can go ahead and do that. So we have evolved and the platform has become the way it has become because of the inputs and because of the way we have been listening and learning from our own mistakes.
That's really great. And then the last one, right? Like, what's the number one thing that has helped you shorten your learning curve?
Lot of conversation with the end clients, lots. Because if I do a brainstorming session with my team, I will get an instant responses and all of it. But that may or may not, like you said, the go-to market and adoption and all of it, there's a cycle which is very long because it may or may not work. But when I'm talking to my buyer, they know what they want to buy, right? So if I make something that they want to buy, then my product is already sold even before it is actually released.
Great.
And so that's what has helped us.
Then you just have to find similar buyers.
Correct. Absolutely.
That's really great. So yeah, thanks a lot, Shubhi, coming and sharing all these insights, sharing your story with us. Definitely a lot of learnings there for me personally as well, and to anyone who's listening to this particular episode. So yeah, once again, thanks a lot for taking time and coming on the show.
Thank you so much. It was really nice for me to be here. Like I said, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and people who are keen to know what it has been our journey like, and if there are things that I can share, I would be always, I mean, I'm always happy to share those learnings, because where we are today and where we are looking back, there are a few things which we can share with entrepreneurs who are starting their journey, so that they don't make the same kind of mistakes.
Totally.